the further we go into the season of Lent, the more difficult things get for Jesus, more serious opposition, more threats to his life. And we know the whole story. We know it's going to get worse before it gets better. So it's important to keep the whole story in mind. In fact, Jesus himself repeatedly told his disciples, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be scourged, beaten, crucified, and on the third day, rise again. So it's, in a sense, it's no surprise, this whole process of dying and rising. In a sense. Well, of course, there are still surprises, because what's surprising is how abandoned Jesus is to taking care of himself. Repeatedly, it says his hour had not yet come, but he keeps putting himself in danger. He keeps facing his opponents. But we know the story. This is going to end, or it's going to look like it ends badly for him until he conquers sin and death with the resurrection. Part of the reason why it's so important to keep that whole picture in mind is because while we're going through it, whether we're following Jesus in our reflections or we're following him in our own daily life, we run into the dark side of this journey all the time. Dominance of sin. Sin and treachery and corruption and wickedness. We see it again and again all the time, and it can be really discouraging. The famous Psalm 23 speaks about walking through the dark valley, or the traditional translation, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. What are we doing in this dark valley? Why do we have to go through this? Well, this is part of the process. It's not the last thing, but it is what we experience. Yesterday, we pondered this story of Jesus who was presented with the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus' first response to their demand that he say something about the case was to be silent. I was reflecting on this after yesterday, because when I was reflecting on it in order to prepare a homily, I was thinking about the effect of the silence on the accusers. That seemed to be what Jesus was doing, forcing them to face their own conscience. But later I thought, what about the effect of the silence on the woman herself? What was she going through as he was bent down tracing on the ground? She didn't know what he was going to say. And she was in the valley of the shadow of death. She was about to be stoned to death. And here's this man stooped down, tracing on the ground with his finger. What is this all about? And can any good come from this? Very difficult when we have to face God's silence. Now, in that case, as we know, or as we assume, that woman was guilty. She was caught in the act. But in today's reading, today's first reading, we hear about an innocent woman who is accused of adultery, Susanna. And she is forced to pass through this valley of the shadow of death. And it looks very bad for her. Now, we know the whole story, because at the end of the story, the bad guys get killed and she's vindicated. But she didn't know that was going to happen. And she didn't know how it was going to happen. And this is what I'd like to reflect on, because the reason why we struggle with this valley of the shadow of death is because it's not obvious to us how God is going to make this better. It's a terrible story, this story of Susanna, and it has a strangely modern feel to it, because, gosh, there's so many cases of powerful men taking advantage of young, beautiful women, or taking advantage of somebody for something. In this case, it's lust that is dominating the story, dominating these two old men. Classic examples of dirty old men. But they're powerful dirty old men. So they have the opportunity to use that power to exploit those who are under their control. And this is just one ugly story that we hear again and again. Part of the difficulty of the church in the third millennium has been facing the scandal of clergy sexual abuse cases. It's worse, in fact, than this story, because these were Christian clergy, priests, bishops, and when they were accused and those crimes were done, they just denied it, or people didn't believe the accusers. The victims were victimized again by the authorities, who said, we don't believe you, or don't say bad things about priests. And you know, these are just really ugly stories. In fact, I hate talking about this because it's a really ugly reality. But we have to put all this ugliness in the context of the whole story. God is not defeated by sin, as bad as it is and as bad as it looks. I know the story of the former cardinal, American cardinal, who died the other day. He's not very well known here in the Philippines, but this man, Theodore McCarrick, was a very, very prominent church leader. He was very well known, one of the top Catholics in the country. He was the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C., so he was really in the center of the church and the state. I can't think of an example, like maybe something like Archbishop Salk, you know, someone who's really well known, and his voice is familiar. So anyway, but unlike Archbishop Salk, I shouldn't even mention any other name, because this former Cardinal McCarrick, he had many accusations against him. He wasn't abusing young women. He had attraction for young men. In fact, seminarians were his main target. And part of the difficulty was these seminarians were over 18, so they were adults. Therefore, they were not, the charges against him were not child abuse or abuse of minors. And to make it worse, seminarians were under his authority. So talk about abuse of power. But finally, after years of accusations and denials and dismissing the complaints of the victims, finally his crimes came to light, and he was put on I don't know if he was really put on trial, because he was an old man by then, but he was finally found guilty by the church, dismissed from being a cardinal, dismissed from being a cleric. He was reduced to the lay state and just kind of banished to prayer and silence. But he never admitted his crimes. As far as we know, he never repented. I mean, we pray God that he did. And he died the other day. Died, I think, on, was it Saturday? Friday or Saturday? Anyway, he died at an old age. And he had been declined into dementia, so they couldn't put him on a civil trial because he was unfit for trial. But anyway, I mention this case because it just looks terrible for someone of such a high state in the church to be doing such terrible things and get away with it for years. And you say, what in the world? A lot of people leave the church over cases like this. Well, how does God look at this? God sees sin more clearly than we do. He doesn't rely on untrustworthy witnesses. He doesn't dismiss the claims of victims. He sees the whole picture all the time. And it's uglier in God's eyes than it is in our eyes. And what does he do about it? Well, he comes up with a way not only to overcome the injustice, but even to save the guilty. That's why yesterday's gospel is even more powerful than this reading, because yesterday the woman was guilty and Jesus did not condemn her. So here, we know the former cardinal in the States, he was guilty. And we say, well, gosh, I would hate to be him on Judgment Day, but On the other hand, God does everything possible to save even the guilty if they're repentant. So we pray for him, we pray that he repented, pray that he was either out of his mind, he didn't have an understanding of what he was doing, or that he was sorry for what he did, and may God have mercy on him. But these stories of victory in this world, like the case of Susanna, are to teach the lesson that God is not defeated by sin, that he has a way of overcoming evil. In the case of Susanna, you know, it's a happy ending because Susanna ends up being proven to be innocent and the bad guys are put to death. But that sometimes doesn't happen. Sometimes the victims are put to death. Sometimes the victims are the ones who get accused of evil. And the bad guys end up in positions of power or celebrity or fame or whatever. And that's the way it looks until they die. But in the end, God wins. Justice wins, truth wins, love wins. That's our faith. That's our faith. And we have to apply this to ourselves. When we're victims of evil, or we're placed in an evil situation that we have no control over, we're helpless, and no one believes us, or no one listens to us, or that sort of thing, or no one even knows what we're going through. No, God knows. God knows. The beautiful prayer of Susanna is a prayer of every helpless victim. She's caught. She says, I'm completely trapped. I've got powerful men opposed to me. I have no one on my side. And she says this: it's better for me to fall into your power, talking to the dirty old men, better for me to fall into your power without guilt than to sin before the Lord. See, she's really placing herself before the Lord and saying, I'm entrusting myself to you. And here's her cry as they're taking her away to be killed. Talk about the valley of the shadow of death. She cries out, O eternal God, you know what is hidden. That's faith. Hidden from everybody's eyes, including my own eyes. You know what is hidden. You are aware of all things before they come to be. A beautiful statement of faith. God knows. God knew beforehand, before they even happened. You know that they have testified falsely against me. Here I am about to die, though I have done none of the things with which these wicked men have charged me. The Lord heard her prayer. So this is the lesson, right? Not that we're going to see vindication or see the innocent saved all the time. Not in our life or not in our eyesight. But we know that God hears the prayers of those who are innocent and even those who are guilty and repentant. And he brings about a victory over sin and death. This is what we're going to celebrate in the next 2 weeks. This week, next week, Holy Week, then in Easter week. Remember, Lent is not the whole story. It's Lent Easter. It's death, resurrection. It's evil and then the triumph of good over evil. So that's what we celebrate. And these passages remind us of it, which we have to be reminded of. Because in the moment, in fact, in sometime today, it's going to strike us that God is not hearing our prayer or not doing what's good, or he's allowing evil to win. And when that happens, we have to say, no, even when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me.